Are you ready for the word this morning? Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go to verse number 10. Paul says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, right before Christmas, that sounds like a word from heaven right there, I'm telling you. Right before Christmas, I was at all-night prayer, and I had that vision, I've shared it a few times now, of watching a video, but I couldn't make out anything I was seeing, but I knew everything was taking place at high speed. Well, since then, I believe God's brought me the revelation. I was watching different prophetic occurrences in 2018 and beyond all at the same time. So much is happening in every arena so fast that we can't keep up with it. And the Lord said, "I'm about to shift things at such a high speed, there's no way they can keep up with themselves anymore. The things are going to shift, you know, in every area. That's going to be like trying to juggle 15 balls at one time. And the only way you're going to be able to do it is to call upon God." And God says, in that, when we are weak, He is strong. God intends to transition His people by living by their strength, their ability, their wisdom, their cunning, to having to totally trust in Him and His Word. They will have to speak the Word and expect God to show up and take care of some of these things we've got held up in the air and to keep them from falling. And I believe we're already moving into that place that you're having to call upon God. Having. How's that for proper speaking words? Amen. How about lack of sleep? That we're going to have to learn to speak the word, and God will keep things going in our lives. But it's going to be a year of continual transition. In other words, learning to go from one level to the next level. And when you're doing that, it's not just learning how to handle everything that you've got, you know, you're trying to juggle, but all the internal changes God's going to make within us. Because God's more after internal change than He is external activity. Because if He can change us from the inside out, it'll produce permanent shifts in our life that let us carry more of Him. More of His power, more of His ability, more of His strength, right? And so I believe 2018 is going to be this year of change. And so last Sunday morning, we were in praise and worship, and I was meditating this change and what I was going to minister. And all of a sudden, I shared this last Sunday morning. I saw these giant gears, and they're all through the sanctuary, just bunches of them, suspended in the air, almost like they were held by strings, but they were just suspended in the air. These gears started to come together to produce an assembly, and I recognized it, but I couldn't remember what I recognized it as. So Sunday night, we came to prayer, and at a break, China said, "When you talked about those gears, it reminded me of the inside of a big clock." And I said, "That's it. That's what I couldn't think of where I've seen that." It was like the insides of all these gears coming together in a big clock. So if you can put that photo up. Now, this is not exactly what I saw, but it's a representation. Except these gears were all, I would say, anywhere from 2 feet to 3 feet in diameter. Some different sizes. And they came together and formed an assembly somewhat like this. And that's the inside of a clock. You follow me? A non-digital clock. And so, as I meditated this, God started speaking to me about how God's bringing the church together in covenant. His people. Each of these gear teeth represent different abilities in your life, different assignments God has given you, different experiences that you've had have formed these teeth in your life, and God is bringing us together and intermeshing all of these experiences, all of these God-given abilities, to produce a mechanism to declare what time it is. Do you follow me on this? He's bringing us together, and that will declare to the world what time it is. Now turn to Acts chapter 3. Just leave that up there for the moment. See, you're one of those gears. Acts chapter 3, go to verse number 19. Peter says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Now, I may mention this again if we get very far into this message today. But before you're going to go very far in God, it requires initially repentance. You cannot live in sin and think you will advance with God, right? All change God brings into your life, even after you're saved, is probably going to involve repentance of some form or fashion. Do you follow that? So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm telling you what, God's bringing times. Well, He just overwhelms us with His peace and His love, with His refreshing power and strength. I'm telling you what, when I go to prayer now, one of the things I almost always receive is a refreshing encounter with God, where you can like, oh, I can breathe again. I'm breathing kingdom air, which is what I was designed to do. Amen. Patty's mother, who's staying with us, bless her darling heart. We're delighted to have her. And yesterday, she's moving all around, and she had a dizzy spell and this or that. And so finally, Patty says, "Mom, do you want to wear your oxygen?" Well, she's supposed to be wearing it all the time. But some people are more stubborn than other people. And she said, "Oh, that's a great idea." Well, if you're supposed to be wearing oxygen, and you're not wearing oxygen, and you're getting dizzy, it might be a hint you should be wearing the oxygen. So she puts the oxygen on, and she can breathe again. I feel that's how I am living in the world, and I go to prayer. It's like I'm getting pure, heavenly air breathed into my system. And it's refreshing versus trying to gasp for breath out in the world. And God's bringing the church to a place that we demand time to go into God so we can be refreshed by His strength. Amen. So times of refreshing are not just coming. This was prophesied 2,000 years ago. They're here now. And how much of it do you want? Amen. It says, "And that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached before to you," verse 21, "whom heaven must receive until." Now, until is an interesting word. Until represents a point in time. Do you follow me? In other words, until represents a shift in events based on a point in time. Well, I'm going to stay at your house until 6 o'clock. Well, 6 o'clock becomes a shift or a break in time where you do something different. And it says the heavens will receive Jesus until the restitution, or I'm sorry, the times of restitution of all things, which God has, finish reading it, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. We mentioned at the outset of today in the introduction that a disservice was done to the church many years ago Because we were proclaiming we were just supposed to be a church hanging on until the rapture took place. And you wanted to go in the rapture because you wanted to escape the tribulation. Well, that's not really what the holy prophets prophesied in the Old Testament. They prophesied a church rising up, a people of God rising up and overcoming. And it says that Jesus is going to stay in heaven until the restitution, in other words, until a break point in time, until the restitution of all things. So when people tell me Jesus can come tomorrow, I say, no, he can't. Do you follow me on that? Today is Sunday. I want to give you a prophetic word right now. Well, it's not really a prophetic word, just a word. The mailman is not coming here today. Why will the U.S. mail not deliver here today? It's Sunday. But tomorrow, unless tomorrow is a holiday I don't know about, but tomorrow, the mailman is coming back. And I'll even step out a bit further. He may bring some bills. But in faith, he brings money. Amen. So, midnight tonight, and really probably later tomorrow in the morning, the mailman will start his routes. But not today. Well, in the same fashion, Jesus is not coming back today. How do you know? Because we've not experienced yet the restitution of all things. Have you had the hundredfold come on everything you've sown? Have you seen the powers of darkness put under the feet of the church? Have you seen the glory of God come on the church where we're walking and bringing forth this great harvest of souls that God's after? No, we have not seen the restitution of all things yet. God's got a time clock put in place that's going to establish when Jesus comes back. Do you follow me? And I believe God was showing me, and we already know it, but God is bringing us together in a covenant fashion to produce an assembly of believers that can manifest His full purposes, bring a restitution to tell the world what time it is. See, we've had the world, and I'm about to say a few things. Nobody get mad at me. If you don't agree with it, don't get mad. Nobody panic and jump up out of the church. But Christianity has made a mistake in watching the clock for the return of Jesus. We've been looking at the wrong clock. See, most of Christianity is looking at Israel to know what prophetic time it is. I mean, just go on to Google and type in red heifer and watch how many hits you're going to find of Israel's preparing the red heifer and what temple's being rebuilt and what's going on in Babylon. And we're focusing on Israel as the time clock. Now, let me make this clear. God is moving in Israel. Our president just said he's moving the embassy, the American embassy, to Jerusalem, which the past three presidents before promised but never fulfilled. He's going to do it. And Benjamin Netanyahu is celebrating this move. And a few other countries are following our lead to do the same thing. America's beginning to lead in the world once again. And understand, God is moving. He is dealing with Israel to some level right now. Definitely His hand of protection is over them. So don't let me in any way try to diminish the importance of Israel prophetically and on the world stage as far as God's concerned. But right now, their clock is stopped. And so, right now, those that are looking at Israel as God's time indicator of when Jesus is coming back are looking at a clock that is stopped. And they need to refocus on the clock that God's building with the church to tell really what time it is prophetically for now. Is everybody okay with this so far? Now, I want to show this to you today. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. Lord, help me make this clear today. Daniel chapter 9, and I want to start reading. Are you there? I want to start reading at verse number 20. How many know Daniel was a man of visions? Right? And a man of interpreting dreams and visions. It says, "Now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel." Did you know Daniel was considered a man of an excellent spirit? He was promoted under multiple different kings to high levels of the government. You follow me? Yet he still says, "I was confessing my sin." Daniel did not lose sight of the need to monitor his own life for anything that might push him out of bounds. "And the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God." Daniel, get this, Daniel was an intercessor. Amen. And visions and revelations were coming to Daniel as an intercessor. "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering." Now, who's this Gabriel? This is an angel. I mean, this is like the key angel dude. This is the messenger. I think, isn't Gabriel the one that brought the message to Mary? Daniel's having a visitation from Gabriel. I want a visitation from Gabriel. I figure if Mary had one and Daniel had one, I can have one. Gabriel, come and visit me with good stuff. Amen. And the good is whatever God needs to show you, right? Verse 22, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression." Now, he gives him what these 70 weeks are for. "To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness." How many know that would deal with the return of Jesus? "To seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy." 70 weeks, right? "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there should be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, let me pause right there for just a minute. Blue seems to work reliably. Gabriel tells Daniel there's going to be 70 weeks. Really, until the restoration of all regarding Israel. Because this is about it. This 70 weeks is about Israel. This is actually their time clock. Do you follow me? And these 70 weeks prophetically represent 70 weeks of years. How many have heard all of this before? Probably many times. Well, the 70 weeks, 70 times 7, equals 490 years. Right? 490 years until really Jesus' second coming. And he says it's broken down into really three parts. There's going to be 7 weeks until Jerusalem is rebuilt. Now, do you guys remember the teaching we did on Ezra and Nehemiah? We found out that Cyrus, and how many know President Trump's considered to be a type of King Cyrus? We went through all of that a year ago. And look how much of it has come to pass. Changing the world, changing the nation. Cyrus made a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. But this was actually, when Daniel received this word, was 49 years before that decree went forth. So Daniel, let me step back even further. Daniel was taken captive by the Babylonians. And Daniel was under Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. Remember that? And it had been prophesied that they would be in captivity for 70 years. That's 10 weeks, right? They would be in captivity for 70 years. Well, in the meantime, the Medes and the Persians conquer Babylon. Remember the handwriting on the wall with Belshazzar? Your kingdom is found wanting, your weight in the balance, and this night your kingdom should be given to the Medes and the Persians. Well, that took place in the midst of the 70 years while Daniel's in Babylon. And a new nation takes over. Well, later Cyrus, a Persian, releases Israel to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And this prophecy that Daniel receives was 49 years prior to Ezra. And there were 49 years from this prophecy till Ezra was told to go rebuild Jerusalem. And from that point on, it was another 62 years, 62 weeks of years, which is, I wrote it down, 434 years from Ezra to Jesus' crucifixion. 432 years. So this is, let me get a different color. 49 is 7 weeks. Do you see this? 434 years, that's 62 weeks. If you add 62 plus 7, you get how many? 69 weeks. However, Gabriel told Daniel everything's going to be completed in 70 weeks. Now, let me give you a little bit of a history lesson. Hopefully this doesn't stretch you too far. But the second coming of Jesus was not 7 years after he was crucified. Do you follow me? I mean, I believe he was crucified 27 A.D. So he did not come again in 34 A.D. I mean, none of the New Testament was even written yet by that time. So, where Daniel said it would be 70 weeks, and it was 69 weeks till he came the first time, we're missing 1 week. Now, it's interesting, in your Bible is a book called Revelation. And Revelation, the first couple chapters, really the first three chapters, deal with letters to the seven churches and appearance of Jesus to John. But chapters 4 through 22 deal, really 21, deal with Israel. And it talks about a great tribulation coming on the whole earth But in the midst of it, God is going to save Israel. If you remember part of the book of Revelation, that the Antichrist is going to lead forces against Israel and virtually drive them out of Israel. And they will gather in the Valley of Megiddo, and there's going to be the Battle of Armageddon. And the Battle of Armageddon, where it looks like Israel's about to be destroyed, wiped out, Jesus is going to come back with his saints. And with his word, Jesus is going to overthrow the Antichrist and all of his forces. Because Israel at that point calls upon God. So the 70th week of Daniel, and I'm sure most of you heard this before, is actually the 7 years of tribulation. In Revelation. It's the 7 years of tribulation listed in the book of Revelation. And then Jesus comes back. But we have a problem. We have a problem in that after 69 weeks, Jesus appears the first time. It is actually, and I believe it's going to be exact myself, 2,000 years from first to second coming. To the second coming. Let me throw this in as well before I forget. This tribulation is broken into two parts. It's known as 3.5 years of tribulation and 3.5 years of the great tribulation, where things get really bad. And let me give you a clue. It hasn't started yet. Why? Because I'm still here. I believe the rapture delivers God's people, the bride anyway, from the events that take place in the tribulation. Because if you study Scripture, God never takes His people through His judgments. He elevates them above them, just like with Noah's Ark. So 2,000 years from the first coming to the second coming, that Daniel didn't speak about specifically in these 70 weeks. Now here's what I want you to see. Can I erase this? I should have made room for 3 clocks. I'll draw another one in a minute. All right. Here's Israel. This is their clock. And let's see. I'll break that into... Well, I'll just start here just for the sake of ease of teaching. Here's Daniel, 0 weeks. Do you see this? And Daniel said it's going to be 490 years until the time of the second return of Jesus, right? Till the return of the Messiah, and Israel's saved. So we went through, and it was 7 weeks. 7 weeks until Jerusalem rebuilt. And then it was another 434 weeks until Jesus came on the scene the first time. There's the first coming. There are 69 weeks from here from Daniel's prophecy all the way to Jesus coming the first time. But then something happened. It's what I alluded to a while ago. All of a sudden, this clock stopped. You ever had a watch, the battery goes dead? And it just stops. Sometimes when they're getting about ready to die, the hand will start doing like this. Instead of moving ahead, it'll just start flickering back. Have you had that happen? And that's where Israel right now is. The hand is just kind of flickering around. It's on hold. Israel is God's time clock has been put on hold for 2,000 years. Now here's what's amazing to me. To me, one of the greatest miracles of Scripture. From the beginning, from Abraham, God declared, it was prophetically decreed, that Israel would be a key player in the world in the end times. However, 2,000 years ago, I need to put that zero right there. Zero's right there. Here's 483. 483. From Israel ceased to be a nation. Right there. Ceased to be a nation. Yet for 2,000 years, until today, God protected Israel as a nation. World leader after world leader tried to destroy Israel. How about Hitler? Tried to destroy the Jews off the planet. And had he won the war, he would have. But God intervened and used America in the process. Now, their clock stopped there, yet God protected them as a nation. Here's what's amazing. They maintain national sovereignty, at least, what would be the right word? Cultural and racial and language sovereignty for 2,000 years, not having a land. That has never even come close to happening in all of history. How many Prussians do you guys know? I mean, we could go through different... Any Romans here? We could go through all these past national powers, some of them powerhouses, empires, that ceased to be an entity in the past, that their languages and their national identity is gone. But Israel, moved on by God, maintained all of their identity over 2,000 years without having a united land. Spread throughout the world, yet they maintained Hebrew as a language. That is one of the greatest miracles ever. So what happened was, is God stopped Israel's time clock as far as being the declaration what time it is on the world stage with 1 week to go. And this week, that week right there, that's the tribulation. And everything else on hold for that sliver of time. So what God did is in the meantime, He brought forth a second clock. And this clock is called the time of the Gentiles. And what God did is He said, I'm stopping this clock right here, and I'm going to shift timekeeping at this point over to this clock. And once this clock makes its cycle, then I'm going to shift back to this clock and finish that last week. When I was young, I think he's probably still got it, but my father had a stopwatch. He was into race car driving and such, and he had a stopwatch. I always loved to play with that stopwatch. It was like a big pocket watch. And you'd hit it, and this dial would go around, you know, clocking, but it had a second dial that was like tenths of a second. So it had the main one that was seconds going around, but another dial was on there going like this, was tenths of a second. See, when you clicked it, it would tell you how many seconds plus how many tenths of a second. And I liken that to where we are here is God's got a second dial. This one's going around, but it hit a place where it stopped, And now the shift is on what's going on with the church. So another title for this is the church. And the church became God's clock. And God is finishing the assembly of the saints together in a covenant fashion to finish the work, get this, in acceleration. Because a short work will the Lord make up on the earth. Remember that word work is word? A short will he make of the word? Make a short work of the word. Praise God. Yeah, he will finish the work in righteousness, word in righteousness. So now we have here the time of the Gentiles. Now turn over to Hosea. Are you getting anything out of this? In fact, Hosea is right after Daniel. Which is somewhat, probably not an accident. Chapter 6, verse 1, come and let us return to the Lord. For he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. It says, after 2 days, he will raise us up. And this 2 days is throughout Scripture prophetically. And we understand that God told Peter, and it's also elsewhere in Scripture, that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is a day. That actually, God has a time of the Gentiles, which is 2 days. It's amazing how he intertwines or, you know, he interlinks these. A week is a year, but a day is 1,000 years. And so 2 days of the time of the Gentiles, Jesus, I believe, was crucified in 27 A.D. Well, how do you get that? How many want to know how I get that? How many don't know how I get that? We know that Jesus is believed to have been 33 years when he was crucified. They get that because we know he was 30 when he started his ministry. And when you read the Gospels and you put them together, it appears that he attended 3 Passovers. And so they take 3 Passovers plus 30, 33 and a half. Years old in that vicinity, assuming he was born September to December, somewhere in that time frame. Anyway, 33 and a half years old. Our best guess is, see, if you take zero when it's declared he was born, you had 33 years, that means he was crucified in 33 AD. But we know that our calendars are wrong. And the best guess is, he was either born in 4 B.C. or 6 B.C. I lean to the 4 B.C. from I'm sorry, 6 B.C. from what I've studied. And I'm not an expert on it, just it seems to be that's where many of the theologians point to. So Jesus was born in 6 B.C. and he lived to be 33. That means he was crucified in 27 A.D. Minus 6 plus 33 is 27. If I take 2 days, which is 2,000 years, and I add it to 27, I get 2027 as the end of the time of the Gentiles. That's 9.5 years. Because I believe he's coming again. I believe the rapture is going to take place right at the Feast of Trumpets. We've talked about that, right? So that gives us about 9.5 years of time to finish this work. Now, Pastor Jack, it says no man knows the day or the hour. I don't. But it says you'll know the season. And I believe we're approaching that season. Do you follow me? I mean, look at things on the world stage. My goodness. So here we have 27 AD, adding 2 days, 2,000 years brings us to 2027 as the return of Jesus. And all of this deals with the development of the bride and the release of the glory. Ephesians makes it clear that Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride. Now let me tell you, at the second coming where Israel's at the Valley of Megiddo and they're surrounded, that is not the glorious bride. That's a hanging on people. Scripture talks about this bride being formed of an army that overcomes everything in their path. Right? And we could go to prophetic declaration after prophetic declaration, how they're going to bring forth cities of restoration. Turn the desert places into like the Garden of Eden. So this 2,000 years is 2,000 years of God dealing with the church. So what's been happening is, color change, for 483 years, this was God's time clock. Israel. Do you follow me? All the way up to the first coming of Jesus. All the way up to his crucifixion. This was the time clock. But then, time stopped for Israel as far as God's overall dealing with them as a people. They're on hold. And this became God's time clock. The problem is most of the church is still looking here. They're looking to go watch doing this. What's going on with the temple? What's going on with the red heifer? You know, what's going on with Babylon? Just do a search on end time Israel and see what comes up. And all of that's great. Pray. I support Israel. This church supports Israel. You follow me? But God's hand of development, his hand of glorification has moved to a new timekeeper, a new time clock, us. And what I saw, those gears representing the insides of a clock, saying he's about to turn the attention of the world to the church as the focal point of what's going on in the world. And off of Israel. Not that we won't pay attention to Israel, but God's about to raise up the church. So 2,000 years of the time of the Gentiles, once that is done, then we revert back and this time clock starts again. That time clock. That begins again, that last 7 years of tribulation until the second coming of Christ. Now, can I take this a step further? I don't think it'll be anything new to a lot of you, but since we're on this path, let's continue in it. All right, there's our lopsided clock. God created the earth in 6 days. And it says the seventh day he rested. And we have discovered those 7 days are prophetic as 1,000 periods of time. That from the time of Adam, call that zero, the entire time of man on earth before the restoration of all things is going to be 7,000 years. Now, we've already learned see, I will. I can divide this by 7. Let's see, 4 ought to be right about there. We'll go with that. How many understand that after Jesus comes back again the second time, puts the Antichrist down under his feet, that there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth called the millennial reign of Christ, right? So this period right here is the millennium. Sure, I spelled that wrong, but that'll work for now. The millennial reign of Christ, there's 1,000 years of peace. But we've already learned that there's going to be 2 days of the church. Actually, right here, we can put in a little sliver. I mean, a little tiny sliver right there. That's the tribulation. On the whole time clock, tribulation is 7 years out of 7,000. That's just a speck of time, right? And then there were going to be 2,000 years of the time of the Gentiles. Wrong color. This is going to call this point. We'll call this 7. I'm sorry, 6. I knew something didn't add up there. Here's 7, right? Minus 1,000 years is 6 days. Minus 2,000 years is 4 days. And this sliver of time is the time of the Gentiles. And then, I find this kind of mathematically interesting. Right here would be, this is Jesus' first coming. Years, which is like another very tiny sliver. 33 years there. Jesus coming the first time. And we found out that actually was preceded by the period of 483 years from the prophecy of Daniel all the way to this. And I find it interesting that that actually takes you, if here's 1, 2, 3 days, 483 years is really at about a half a day. Do you follow me? That's about a half a day, which really kind of splits time right there. From the time of Adam to Daniel was about half the time from Daniel to the end of this age. About 3,500 years from here to Daniel, and about 3,500 years from Daniel to here. He was halfway. And God gave him that prophecy. Do you find that interesting? Now, we don't know that it's exact, but it's very, very close. So then here we have, if I still got time, here we have Daniel. Now, from Daniel to Ezra, here's our four. Really, it's not near that much. Let's get that smaller. From Daniel to Ezra, was 49 years. So you can see how these things fit overall on God's time clock. And then, of course, from Daniel to Adam, about 3,500 years. And in here, we could plug in. We could plug in Noah. Noah was about 2,000 years after Adam. We could plug in Noah and Abraham and all the other patriarchs on that side of the timeline. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm not going to get to my main message today. We're still in the introduction. Actually, I knew we wasn't going to make it far, because Genesis chapter 1, have you got it? Go to verse 16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Then God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. The fourth day. Now, if we consider 1,000 years as a day and a day as 1,000 years, how long is 4 days? And we've already determined from Adam to the first coming of Jesus is 4,000 years. This is also the birthing of the church. This right here is the day of Pentecost. This is the resurrection, everything after these 4 days, right at 4,000 years. And it says here that on the fourth day he made the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. The greater light is Jesus, who is the source of all light for us, right? But the lesser light, what's the lesser light? The moon. You jumped a step ahead of me. The lesser light's the moon. And the moon has no light that it gives off of itself. It merely reflects the light of the sun. And the moon scripturally is a representation of the church. And here, see, people say, I don't understand. How is it that on day one he said, let there be light, and on the fourth day he says, let there be the sun? Well, light was created as a force. It was created as a source of illumination, as really the boundary of speed in his universe until you go quantum. As the boundary of speed in his universe, God set forth that in day one, light. But in day four, he created the sun and the moon. Amen. And day four, Jesus made his first visit, and a church was birthed. The sun and the moon, day four, 4,000 years after creation. This God that we serve, that we know, put in his word prophecies that are 100% accurate, and they all tie together. And just like this clock we've been showing, all these gears tie together. They have a purpose. They have an overall assembly purpose to tell time. God is assembling his church in these end times to do the same thing. And all these prophecies are tying together just like the gears of the teeth to bring forth God's end time purposes and goals. And we are, if I can use a country term, we are smack dab in the middle of what God is doing. Don't get distracted. Don't get so caught up in the world you lose connection with the presence of God that refreshes. Because God's raising up this triumphant church, this glorious bride, to usher in his glory and to finish his work so that the rapture can take place. In fact, right here, remember I said here's the tribulation? Right before the tribulation, rapture. Rapture. God's raising up during the second time clock the church to bring forth a rapture so that when we finish this work and we're caught up to join him in the air, the first clock restarts to finish his work with Israel for just a little sliver of time till we go into the The millennial. I had trouble with that the other night. The millennial reign of Christ. We ought to be so on fire for God right now. So refusing to be distracted from what He's doing. To make sure we're one of these gears telling the world what time it is. Do you follow me? So whatever God called you to do, be about it with all of your heart. Well, look. I believe 2018 is going to be a year of such rapid shifts and change, of transition periods. You're going to feel like you just can't hang on. You can't do this anymore. So much changing so fast. And you got to make sure you lock into the Word. Amen. Hold on to it like the second hand of that clock. Because time and trust in God will take you through every form of opposition. I have a thing when I'm driving. It's kind of a side note. About probably 25 years ago, Patty and I were coming back from Kansas, and there was a wreck on the interstate, maybe road construction, and traffic just stopped, and it was backed up. I mean, it may have been backed up 40 miles. It was the worst traffic jam I'd ever seen. And we're just stuck for hours. And it seemed like forever. But eventually they cleared it out, and we were able to go home. And something in me shifted that I know no matter what happens in traffic, time will take care of it. They will get it taken care of. And I will get to my destination. So when I'm going somewhere and it seems like traffic's backed way up, I just tell myself, this too shall pass. It's going to clear out. Eventually cars will make it through the lights and I can get where I need to go. Relax. And I'm telling you, time passing works to our advantage. The enemy cannot maintain an assault against you. Hold your faith until you finish the assignment, you get where you're supposed to go. Don't let the enemy pressure you to let go of your hold on what God has declared for your life. Do you follow me? Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you, Lord God, to seal it within us. Cause to be people of great faith, great expectation, great prophetic awareness. Elevate us above trust in ourselves to trust in your word. And we know that your word will not let us fall. I thank you for the covenants in this church, a church of no jealousy, envy, strife, bitterness, or offense, and a church of covenant with your word where we have a right to resist sickness, oppression, fear, and discouragement. In this church, we decree no lack in any area. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some neck and show the love of God. Remember.